Over the course of this month and into the next, we are looking at the water stories that are associated with Jesus in the Gospels. There are some fascinating pieces in that, and we will be exploring what the Bible has to say with us there. We begin today with the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 45 through 52. Listen for the word of the Lord. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After saying farewell to them, he went on the mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came toward them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost. And they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Have courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves and the fishes, but their hearts were hardened. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Fascinating things happened to Jesus in and around the presence of water. As we heard last week, disciples are called to be lifeguards, to save lives. Today we hear about Jesus calming the storm. In the future we'll hear about him feeding the 4,000 and curing craziness in a community and miracles happening there. But today I want to focus on just one phrase in particular. This is a phrase that I first heard about or became aware of in college, because it says, Jesus made them get in the boat. Or as my Greek teacher said, the Greek says, he compelled them to get in the boat. He was troubled by that. I remember that Jesus would make anyone do anything, and he was asking the question, what is going on? That Jesus compels them, all of the disciples, to get in this boat together and set sail. That's what I want to talk about, before I get there, I just want to talk about what a number of you are thinking about this morning, and that is, when will he ever shave that beard? I grew it in Alaska. How do you not grow a beard in Alaska? And it is so interesting. I've discovered that as people come out of church now, they'll either give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down, and I didn't even remember putting it up for a vote. While we were hiking, we were walking in Denali National Park. We walked through rain, and then it started to rain harder, and I had such a great hiking friend, my old friend from college, and when the rain would come down harder, he'd look up and say, "It's just like my old track coach said, rain is just liquid sunshine." So we walked through the liquid sunshine, and we slept on rocks, and we ate oatmeal and legumes and wild mushrooms in bear-infested wilderness, which is to say we didn't sleep much. When we finally got out of the wilderness, the National Park Service doesn't allow cars to drive in Denali, but they were good enough to send us what I call a stretch limo, which is to say an old green school bus. This old green school bus was something we sat on for 7 hours. And you remember how comfortable those are, right? But fortunately, I had a good dialogue partner in George. George not only likes to hike, he also likes to sail. He had just come back from a couple weeks captaining a boat in Chesapeake Bay with 19 other boats. And we had a long bus ride, so I asked him the question, "What is it about sailing that you like so much, George? Why do you like to get in the boat?" See, I'm thinking about you even on vacation, right? Why get in the boat? And it was fascinating what he had to say. He said, "When you get on the boat, you become aware." He said, "You become aware of other dimensions. You become aware of the wind. The wind's around us all the time. We just don't pay any attention to it. We don't much notice. But out on the boat, you recognize how important the wind is. You make decisions based upon the wind. And you realize in the Bible, the wind is a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. So while he's talking, I've taken out my cell phone and I'm taking notes for this sermon, all right? You pay attention to the wind and where it's pushing you. He says, in the boat, you become aware of what's beneath the surface, what's in the deep, what's in the water. You have charts, you take soundings, you measure. Out on the boat, you become aware of depth. The shallows can ground you. You get stuck, can keep you from getting anywhere. The rocks, on the other hand, can sink you, and that can be the end of you or your boat out in the water. You have to become aware of what is underneath the surface in the deep. And then he said, out on the boat, you become aware of just how important every one member of your crew is. How everybody has a job to do, a role to fulfill, how everybody has to pull their weight, and how important it is that they are all there together out on the boat. And he says, out on the boat, things can happen. Someone can fall overboard. And if someone falls overboard, whoever it is who is the first one to spot them never takes their eyes off of them. They keep, that is their one job, their one role, they keep their eyes on the one who has fallen overboard, because it may take a long time for the boat to come about and to come back and pick them up. And that one person has to make sure, even if a wave comes and blocks them from sight, they know where that person overboard is. He said, we run drills, we practice making sure that we're ready for someone going overboard. And he says, but out on the boat, when everything's working, you're paying attention to the wind and you know where it's moving you, and you're paying attention to the depths, and you know what's there, and the crew is working together, then all of a sudden there's this experience of unity and beauty and wonder. I thought that was one of the best sermons I've heard in a long time. So I shared that with you, with his permission, of course, this morning. And I want to just talk about, I think that's why Jesus said to the disciples, get in the boat. Because when you're in the boat together, you have experiences and you go places that you can't go any other way. When you're in the boat together, you're paying attention to the other dimensions. You're paying attention to the Spirit and asking, where is the Spirit of God moving us? How is the Spirit of God guiding us? You're aware of these things because they matter. You're aware of the deep. And you think about how much in our lives we live in shallow territory. I mean, shallow to the point where we're stuck and not going anywhere and rewatching yet another binge watch of Netflix, right? Or we end up in a rocky place. We end up in a rocky place where our lives could end up being sunk. But what we do is pay attention in the boat to which Jesus calls us, to the church to which Jesus calls us, whether you're a member of Westminster or a member of another church or synagogue or mosque or temple. You get in the boat together because these are places where things of God's Spirit happen as no other way. You have experiences of depth, the wonder of God, and you have experiences of power as you come together and the whole crew is working together. And amazing things happen. Jesus wants us in the boat because when we are in the boat, we discover things that we might not otherwise notice. We discover how important especially other people are. And sometimes I think we discover how important we are because each and every one of us has a role to help the boat move forward, to help other people know that they're loved and cared for. At the very least, to celebrate life together. That's what we're doing this morning, is just celebrating the wonder of these marvelous children that will share with us their gifts today and the gifts that we have of our younger members receiving their Bibles today. We're celebrating the milestones in life to feel the beauty and wonder of God's good creation together. To watch out for one another, to care for one another. And it all happens because Jesus says to his disciples, get in the boat. I've got someplace I want you to go. Now, last week we talked about Westminster being aware that when Jesus calls us to be fishers of people, what he's really saying is you are called to save someone's life. And we're going to be talking more about that this fall, because we've got some new mission initiatives that I think are truly life-saving types of activity. And I'm excited about those. But this morning, I want to talk in particular about something that we did a number of years ago, because Jesus called us here at Westminster to get in the boat and do something wonderful. Because you see, about 20 years ago, Westminster's preschool was about half full in terms of its enrollment. It was a pretty average sort of preschool, and we set a goal of being the best preschool in town. We worked on that. We partnered with the teachers. We invested resources in it. We still do. And today, Westminster is the only accredited NAEYC church preschool in the city. And I think that is wonderful, something that I celebrate every year with you. But this year, the state has come up with a new program to test their educational programs. It's called Step Up to Quality. There are 5 levels on Step Up to Quality, and most preschools at this point would be at level 1. There may be a few at level 2, just 1 or 2 at level 3, and maybe 1 at level 4. There is only 1 level 5 Step Up to Quality preschool in the entire state of Nebraska, and that is Westminster's preschool. And I think that is just, yeah. It's happened because the church set a goal a long time ago, and we have consistently worked for that. It's happened because we hired the right staff, and they are outstanding staff members. It's happened because the members of the congregation supplement the cost of the preschool, because we know that lives are shaped at this age, that you can measure a top quality preschool education for a young child, that they can see the impact that has had on that life when someone is in their 20s or even into their 30s. So we have the privilege of having the opportunity to share God's love in making lives better. That's what happens when you get in the boat. And it didn't happen overnight. It took a long time for that to happen, but we stayed with it, we stuck with it, and I am so thrilled about that, and I know that you all will greet Suzanne and the staff when they come out with that, but I want to say also to the members of the congregation, thank you for your support in making that happen. Jesus calls us to get in the boat together, to do important things together, to save lives together, to shape lives together, to recognize the core values that can guide this boat, this ship. And one of those core values that we constantly are focusing on is how can we better take care of the children in our congregation, and how can we better take care of the children in our community? Because that is part of God's love and our call to share God's love in this church and in this city. There are so many things that happen because we have decided as a congregation to get in the boat together. We give together, we love together, we share life together. There are all these things that happen because we've listened when Christ called. We get in the boat together and we share that love, and it is just amazing. I did want to say one more thing about my bus ride before we stop today, and that is the bus driver was driving on these roads that there's no guardrails. it's just gravel, and it is so steep. You look down, and you know, really at the bottom, you just see all these cliffs and the bears that are down there eating berries waiting for a bus to just come on over. Our bus driver was from Argentina. He was a delightful man. I was talking with him a little bit. He said, "This part of the road is so treacherous. For the first 3 years driving this road, it would make my whole body shake. I said, how long have you been driving this route? He said, 3 years. I said, you're doing a wonderful job. And he said, so far, so good. Well, you notice in this story today about the disciples, they get out on the water and things get choppy. The wind comes up, the waves come up, they get nervous, they get afraid, and that happens in life. But when it does, what we trust is that Jesus comes to us in the midst of the storm and says, have courage, peace. May we, on our journey, wherever Christ is calling us, experience that sense of peace and presence that Christ alone can give to us. Amen.